Are we working in the house good? All the way in the back, they're giving you a thumbs up there, Dr. Kenny. So I am just having a beautiful time with you here in Hong Kong. Just thank you, Pastor Sam, for the privilege of celebrating with you this weekend and enjoying the Word together. If you were with us last night, wave at me. Just okay, so we have some folks that were not here last night, and we are doing tonight part two of a two-part series, and we are about to do zero review because we have so much territory to cover tonight. So if you missed last night, I'm hoping that there might be a way to watch it online or something. Perfect. Good. And I've written a book on the parable of the sower called Secrets of a Fruitful Heart. Thank you. Appreciate that. Secrets of a Fruitful Heart. And there is a discipleship manual that goes with it. If you are in a small group and you are looking for a curriculum next time around, you just found it. I'm hoping that you'll want to take your group through it together. And I would love it if Pastor Sam was so inspired that he would want to do just a whole sermon series on the parable of the sower. I'm just giving you permission, Pastor, if you want to go there. So check it out. If we're able, I'll do some more book signing this weekend, so I'll be glad to be available for that. And I've just been enjoying meeting various ones. Met Cardia. I met Marcus tonight. Dr. Marcus is in the house. And I've met some folks that share with me Canadian roots. I'm actually born in Canada. Anybody that has Canadian, you did something in Canada. Just kind of wave at me. You did schooling. You did... Come on, I got some people here. And anybody in the house that you've done something in the USA, you've studied, you've lived for a season, you've... Perfect. Beautiful. So... Let's come right to it. You want to get your hand out? You want to get a pen? You want to have your Bible open to Mark 4? And we are going to go there. We're looking at Jesus' sledgehammer parable. This is the big one. It's the goat. Last night we talked about the birds, and this was the implement that we were swinging last night. How many were? I was a little bit nervous, to be honest with you, because the head on this thing is just not that tight, and I was like, Lord, just don't let that come off while I'm illustrating my message. But we talked about how the wayside gets hardened by foot traffic, and you gotta break up the hard places of our heart so that the word, the seed of God's word, can find entrance into our heart. So we did this one last night, and we've got a couple more tools to go. If you look at the chart at the top of your hand out, it gives you kind of a visual of the parable. It helps you to see kind of how we're going to work our way through the three tools that are mentioned there. And tonight we're going to do the stones and the weeds. Here we go. Lord Jesus, we ask for your grace and help. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such a brilliant parable, and may we have ears to hear. Help us to hear it, help us to see it, and let it imprint our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We are now going to begin with the shallow heart. If you look at the chart, that's what we're calling the second category of the stones, the shallow heart. Verse 5. Some seed fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. Mark 4, verse 5. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Now come in your Bible down to verse 16, where Jesus is going to explain about the shallow heart. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Jesus is talking about a portion of the farmer's field that had stones in it. Where there are stones in a garden, the stones will hinder the seed from being planted deeply enough in the earth. So the seed is shallow in the soil, which means it will germinate quickly. It'll pop up through the soil very quickly. But not only is the seed shallow, the roots are also shallow. The roots just can't get down into the subterranean moisture that's down deep because the roots are being hindered by stones. And thus, when the sun comes up, when the heat is on, the roots don't go deeply enough to capture that subterranean moisture, and the plant is scorched. The word scorched is the perfect word for what happens when the sun comes up and the roots aren't deep enough. Now, the heat of the sun in our parable is represented by trouble, persecution, and then in Luke 8, verse 13, temptation. Those are the things that turn up the heat in our lives. You want to pay attention to those three things: trouble, persecution, and temptation. And when trouble comes along, we're going to find out what kind of a root system you've got. Now, notice in verse 16 that there is an initial response of gladness to the gospel. This person is so full of joy because their sins are forgiven. Their names are written in heaven. They've got a sense of their conscience has been cleansed. The burden of sin is lifted. The gospel is good news for them. And there's a response of gladness. But listen, a response to the gospel comes along, whether it's trouble or persecution or temptation, when trouble comes along, if our response to the gospel has only been emotional, the heat will take us out. That's what Jesus is communicating here. He's saying that if our lives are not rooted deeply enough in the Word of God, in the love of Christ, in the Holy Spirit, then trouble can take us out. Let me now say it in a positive way. If your roots go deep enough so that you are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, rooted in the Word of God, rooted in the Holy Spirit, if your roots go deep enough in God, there is no trouble that can take you out. There is no persecution that can take you out. And there is no temptation that can take you out. And when the heat gets turned up, if you have a constant source of moisture in the love of God, there is nothing that can take you out. You'll see this in plant life. If a plant is able to access constant moisture, there is no sun that can take it out. There is no heat that can take it out. And in fact, if that plant has a constant supply of moisture, the heat will make it more fruitful. If you can receive it, trouble can make you more fruitful. If your roots go deeply into the love of Christ. Now, what do the stones represent? Pockets of sin and compromise. It's there in your notes. Pockets of sin and compromise. When the Word of God identifies something as sin, and now it's in the garden of our heart, that thing is a stone in your garden. And if a gardener is wise, whenever they encounter a stone in their garden, they're going to get rid of it. Now, I just need to ask a question, because I'm in Hong Kong tonight, and I'm a gardener. I grow tomatoes every year, but I just got to ask a question. Is there a gardener in the house tonight in Hong Kong? Wave at me if there's anybody in the room that has a garden. That's what I thought. Okay, I'm going to have to school somebody here tonight because... But here's the beautiful thing about the agricultural metaphor. Even if you've never gardened, it's just so obvious. It just makes sense. And so you're going to be able to track with it, even if you have never had a shovel in your hand, okay? I have baptized believers in water that when they went down into the waters of baptism and came back up, they came out like a light bulb, full of joy, full of gladness, so thankful to receive the salvation of Christ, just stoked to be baptized in water, a believer in Christ. And then you come back a year later and they are nowhere to be found. You can't find them in the church. You can't find them in the fellowship of the saints. They are history. And you wonder, what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. They didn't get rid of their stones. If you tolerate stones in the garden of your heart, Jesus is warning us. He goes, the stones can take you out. If you don't get rid of your stones, the roots will remain shallow in your heart. And when trouble comes along, when temptation comes along, when persecution comes along, you'll become a casualty. We've got to get the stones out of the garden of our heart. Now, every person in the room tonight has stones in their heart. What I mean is, every one of us have areas in our heart where there are pockets of sin that we haven't even identified yet. Now, if you're as old as me, I'm a fossil, and when you get to be this old, by the time you're 68, you have been, by the grace of God, if you've been getting rid of those stones, and now you have been walking with the Lord for years and getting rid of those stones, by the grace of God, you have fewer stones tonight than you used to have. You've been doing business with God. It's a beautiful thing. But it's common for all of us to find stones in the garden of our heart. Stones will surprise you. In Kansas City, where I live, we go after our garden right around April. So when April comes around, I get my shovel out, and here we go into the garden to get ready for to plant the garden. And you go like this, and you go, and your shovel goes clink, a stone. I've got a stone in my garden. I've been working this garden for 10 years, and I have never had a stone in this part of my garden. Who put that stone in my garden? And of course, the answer is nobody put that stone in your garden. It was there all along. It just took a few seasons for it to work its way to the surface until finally your shovel came in contact with it. And now you're like, oh, I've got a stone in my garden. Stones will work their way up that are buried in the earth. They'll work their way up because of seasonal changes. When there are changes of precipitation, changes of temperature and moisture, stones that are buried in the ground will work their way up. And then one of these years, you're like, all of a sudden, I've got a stone here. When you locate a stone in your garden, you now face a decision. Am I going to go to the labor of pulling that thing out, or maybe I'm just not feeling inspired right now, and I'm just going to postpone that stone for another day? If you allow that stone to remain in the garden of your heart, I promise you, you will never become a hundredfold fruitful Christian. The only way that we can become hundredfold fruitful in the kingdom of God is if we did every stone that we encounter in the garden of our hearts. There was a stone in my yard, and I was looking at this thing. I was like, it was just kind of working its way higher and higher in my yard. And I was like, one of these days, my lawnmower is going to hit this stone. Some of you don't even know what a lawnmower is here in Hong Kong. My lawnmower is going to hit this stone. It's going to ruin my lawnmower. And the day came when I decided this stone's got to go. I got my shovel out. I began to go after that stone. The more I dug after that stone, the bigger it got. It wasn't a stone. It was a boulder. That thing was massive. It took me an hour to dig that stone out of my yard. And here's the point that I got from it. Sometimes when you go after a stone in your heart, it can be a bigger project than you anticipated. But something inside of us needs to look at that stone and go, I don't know how long it's going to take me, and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do it yet. But, Mr. Stone, you are going to go, and by the grace of God, we are going to keep on with our shovel until that stone is removed from our hearts. So I'm over here going zero toleration for stones. When we see a stone in our garden, we're going after it. It can be tempting to medicate our stones. You got a stone in your heart, something that's just, oh, it's painful, it's bothering you. Maybe there's an offense, a point of unforgiveness. There might be an addiction, something that's just, oh, this thing is bothering me. And the world's answer is, go to the doctor and get a prescription. They've got a drug for that thing. The world has a prescription for virtually every stone in your heart. I mean, I am just blown away with how many new prescriptions the industry is producing literally every day. The world is medicating their stones, and that we do it with a variety of ways. We do it with prescription drugs. We do it with illegal drugs. We will medicate our stones with alcohol. We will medicate our stones with various pleasures. When we medicate our stones, we're not getting rid of them. We're just submerging them a little bit, just getting them down so that they're not bothering us so much. The gospel never invites us to medicate our stones. The gospel invites us to repent. Get out your shovel. Go after that stone and dig it up and get it out of the garden of your heart. I just want to remind you that on the cross, Jesus refused to medicate his sorrows. Remember when they offered him wine, he tasted it and he goes, oh, this is alcohol. And he refused to drink it. It was the one measure of mercy, that little token of mercy that the Romans would offer, just to take a little bit of the edge off. And Jesus, when he realized that it was an alcoholic beverage, he goes like this. He goes, my Father is giving me this cup, and I'm going to drink it straight up. And he refused to medicate his sorrows on the cross. I invite you to do the same. When you're in a season of sorrow, when you're in a season of struggle and of pain, refuse to medicate your sorrows. Your Heavenly Father has given you a bitter cup. Drink it straight up and engage with what he wants to do in your life. And the same is true for stones. Refuse to medicate your stones. I'm not going to medicate them. I'm going to take my shovel out and go after them and get the stones out of the garden of my heart. Because I am after 100-fold fruitfulness. In your handout, there's some examples of stones that you're welcome just to look at the examples there that are intended to just give a sense of what do we mean by stones? Unforgiveness. Anger. If you have a struggle with anger in your life, you got yourself a stone. Addictions. If you have an addiction in your life, you've got yourself a stone. I want to say this with tenderness and affection. But I want to say it clearly. If you have an area of addiction in your life, you will never be 100-fold fruitful. The only way to be a 100-fold fruitful Christian is to get every stone of addiction out of the garden of your heart. Get your shovel out. Maybe you don't know how to get rid of that stone right now, but purpose in your heart, I am going to find out by the grace of God how to get rid of this stone. Porn is a stone. If you struggle with porn, you've got yourself a stone. Okay, I'm going to talk about it for just a couple minutes. I'm going to talk a little bit about my history with this issue. I had an issue with my eyes that I did not consider it to be a boulder. I considered it to be a pebble. Okay, maybe God felt differently about it than I did, but for me, it just wasn't a real big, I didn't have this mountain related to porn. It was a little thing. Okay, I'll tell you how it worked for me. I would be most vulnerable when I felt the strongest. When I was in a place of like, oh, I'm feeling anointed once in a while, when the planets would line up in a perfect way, my eyes would go places they should not go. And it was around 18 years ago that the Lord invited me to make a covenant with my eyes. I'm speaking now of Job 31, verse 1. I was in Job 31, verse 1 on a certain occasion. I was just praying in my secret place. And as I was in Job 31, verse 1, the Lord invited me to make a covenant with my eyes like Job did. And I've got a book on it. I think I brought some copies with me. If it's helpful, you're welcome to check that out. And so, just to make it real brief, I decided to accept the Lord's invitation. It seemed to me that the Lord was saying to me, Bob, if you want to make a covenant with your eyes related to sexual consecration, I'll help you. And so I'm looking at an offer of grace. I'm like, oh, I'm going to say yes to this. So I wrote out my covenant, put it in my journal. I dated it. I gave a real big offering because I couldn't afford to forget it. And now I am in covenant with God about what my eyes will and will not look upon. It was violent. It was serious. I'm talking about a serious shovel. Job 31, verse 1. And I'm going to give you my testimony. For 18 years, the garden of my heart has been free of the stone of porn. And I don't say that to sound like I'm a spiritual giant or I'm extra spiritual. I say it as a testimony to the power of the Word of God. It's just raw Job 31, verse 1, raw Bible. The Holy Spirit gave it to me, and I've been walking in an eye covenant, and it got the stone out of the garden of my heart. And that's what I want you to hear, that it's possible to get that stone out of the garden of your heart. So anytime I have a chance, I'm just like, bro, pray about making a covenant with your eyes. It got the stone out of my heart. And I believe it would get it out of your heart as well if God will give that to you. So, when I talk about stones tonight, maybe you're thinking like, a stone of compromise. I can't think of anything right now. I can't think of a stone. If you can't think of any stones in the garden of your heart right now, fantastic. Celebrate Jesus, worship the Lord, enjoy the goodness of God. We do not walk around all of our days looking for stones. I got a stone somewhere. Jesus, where's my stone? Bob said I got stones. Where's my stone? It's got to be somewhere. And just relax all that. Don't go looking for stones. The Holy Spirit will show you a stone when He wants to. And so when God, until He shows you your stones, enjoy the goodness of His grace. But when He shows you a stone, okay, now that I see this stone, now that the Holy Spirit is going, okay, Bob, you got a stone here. Now that I see it, the scripture goes like this: do not receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, when God is showing you a stone, that means he's giving you grace to deal with it. And do not brush aside the grace of God. When he's giving you grace to go after a stone, resolve in your heart, okay, Lord, it's time. You're showing this one to me. I'm getting out my shovel, and I'm serving notice to that stone. In Jesus' name, you are coming out of the garden of my heart. It is dangerous to keep a stone in your heart when you see it. It's actually dangerous. I'm going to be talking in the message tomorrow morning. If you join us tomorrow morning, I'm going to be exploring that just a little bit more in the case of Judas Iscariot, who had stones in his heart that he saw, but he refused to get rid of them. And the stones in his life took on demonic energy and dragged him to his destruction. And I hear a warning in the Holy Spirit: do not tolerate stones. When you see them, receive the grace of God and get rid of those stones. Okay, anxiety is a stone. If you have any struggle with fear or anxiety, my friend, you got yourself a stone. How many know that fear is illegal in the kingdom of God? Just wave at me if you understand this. Fear is illegal in the kingdom. It's a stone, and any time that you find a stone of fear in your heart, go after it. This happened to me during COVID. Now, COVID was an international change of seasons. And when COVID hit, most all of us found stones in our hearts that we had never seen before. Just wave at me if you're breathing right now. Anybody breathing? Like, yeah, I did the COVID thing and I realized. Because why? It was a change of seasons. And when seasons change, stones will surface in your heart that you're like, I was like, I don't have any issues with anxiety until COVID. And suddenly, I found myself with a stone of anxiety in my heart in the middle of COVID. Okay, I'll tell you what it was. When COVID hit, my income stream tanked. Just because of the nature of my profession, my income stream went, it just tanked. And when my income stream tanked, what is this? Something's bugging me. It took me, Marcus, it took me a while to identify it, because I don't have any issues with anxiety until COVID. And I'm like, I've got a stone of anxiety in my heart. I didn't even know it was there. And it took something like COVID to reveal it. I got out my shovel. I said, in Jesus' name, this stone is not staying in my heart. I began to go after that thing. I began to quote the scriptures: be anxious for nothing. My son Michael, he comes over to the house to do something, and I go, Michael, you are going to be my confessor. I'm about to confess my sin to you. And James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another and then pray for one another so you can be healed. I'm going to confess my fault to you. You're going to pray for me, and Jesus is going to heal me. So I said, okay, here's my fault. I am being tempted with anxiety. And I told him exactly why I was being tempted, because my income took a hit. He prayed a prayer for me. Cardia, it was, I'm going to be honest, a feeble prayer. He didn't even take 60 seconds with it. He wasn't feeling the moment. You know what I'm saying? I was feeling it more than he was. He just really, he was kind of tolerating me a little bit. And he's like, oh, I'll pray a prayer, I guess. And I'm going to tell you, when he prayed that prayer for me, that stone was removed immediately. Gone. James 5:16. I'm not saying that James 5:16 gets rid of every stone of anxiety. I'm just saying find out whatever it takes. Jesus, I've got me a stone of anxiety, and I just got to come out of the garden of my heart and go after it until it's gone. Let me just say this about anxiety. Anxiety is fighting a battle for which heaven is giving you zero help. Because the scriptures have said to us, Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And when you are anxious about tomorrow, he doesn't help you with tomorrow's troubles. He only helps us with today's troubles. When you come to Jesus about today's troubles, now you get grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. But if you come to him about tomorrow's troubles, he's not going to go there with you. He says, I'll talk to you about today's troubles. I'll help you with today's troubles, but we're not going to deal with tomorrow. And he showed us how to do this in the cross. When the cross was coming closer and closer, he refused to engage with the sorrows of the cross until the day of. And when the day of his crucifixion finally came, he went to Gethsemane and he engaged with the sorrows of the cross in Gethsemane, and he found grace in that moment to take on the cross, and the Father helped him, and he never went there until the day of, and he's showing us how to do it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking that you help me, that I never worry about tomorrow, but only engage with you in today's troubles. May the Lord give you that grace. Another story. I'm telling stories on myself tonight, Cardia. Another story. I was with some friends. Their names are Chris and Joan. They're personal friends of mine. I was visiting with Joan, and she told me a story. She says, I was with a group, and we were praying together, and this thing came out. She goes, I have had a quiet fear for years that I will suffer a premature death just like my mother did. She goes, I've got a similar body type. I'm like my mother in a lot of ways. My mother suffered a massive heart attack before her time and she died. And I've just had this fear all my life. I am going to die from a heart attack before my time, just like my mother did. And as Joan is telling me her story, she goes, I confessed this fear to the group I was with. They ministered to me. They prayed for me. And she goes, after that, I went to the doctor for a checkup. The doctor gave me an EKG, and the doctor goes, your EKG is perfect. And Joan said to me, I think not only did the Lord release me from the anxiety of fearing that I would get what my mother had, I think he actually touched my body and has rejuvenated me and is helping me. And I was just like, I love that story, Joan. That's awesome. I was rejoicing with her. And then after the conversation, I was like, I wonder if there's anything in the health history of my family that I fear. And my first response was, oh no, there's nothing. I don't have any fear about any medical history in my family. Wait a minute. I was reminded. My father passed away in 2020, and when he died with dementia of some sort, and he just lost the strength of his mind, and when he was in his last days, he could hardly even recognize his own sons. His mind was, it wasn't normal, it was dementia. And I'm like, you know what? I actually, when I watched my dad go through that, I had this thing in me. I'm like my dad. I just have a lot of resemblances and I don't want to go through that. And I hadn't actually identified the stone until Joan told me her story. And then I'm like, well, actually, I've got a stone. And so I went back to Chris and Joan and I said, Joan, you told me your story. I'm going to confess to you. I've identified this. It's small. It's not a big thing, but I've got this little fear in my heart that I'm going to lose the strength of my mind in my final years like my father did. And when I confessed to them, they prayed for me. It was a beautiful prayer. They just agreed. And that stone was immediately gone. I've been free of it ever since. It could be that there's someone here tonight that when I speak of this kind of thing, fearing a medical condition that has been common in your family, maybe your mother, your father, something, it might be something that has a hereditary nature to it of some sort, and you recognize, yeah, actually, I've got a fear of getting cancer like my mother got cancer, or whatever it might be. Before the evening is over, we will be available to pray with you tonight and agree for that fear to be removed from your heart. We're going to get our shovel out and ask the Lord to remove. remove every stone of anxiety and fear in Jesus' name. That ministry will be available in just a few minutes. Okay, we have done the stones. Let's talk about the weeds. Let's finish with the weeds now. Mark 4, verse 7. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Now come down to Mark 4, verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Jesus has talked about the hard wayside. He has talked about the stones, and now the third hindrance to fruitfulness, the weeds, the thorns. Choke is the perfect word here, because weeds choke good plants. Weeds grow faster, they grow thicker, they hog up all the moisture, all the sunlight, and they choke. If you can imagine someone putting their hands around your neck and just strangling the life out of you, this is the image of what weeds do to the garden of our heart. They strangle and choke the life of God so that what would have been fruitful is not fruitful. Now, in your chart at the top of the first page, we're calling this the neglected heart. And that's my term for it. I'm going to explain why I'm calling this one the neglected heart. The scripture is Proverbs 24. I believe it's in your notes somewhere. Proverbs 24. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. It's describing a lazy farmer who didn't want to weed his field. And if you decide that you don't want to work your weeds and manage your weeds and get rid of the weeds in your garden, I have a promise for you. You are going to grow a beautiful garden of weeds. The only way to have a hundredfold fruitful garden, you have got to go after the weeds. But the lazy man in our proverb had neglected weed management and had a field of weeds. We're calling it the neglected heart. Verse 19, Jesus talked about three kinds of weeds. We're going to get there in just a moment. Now let me just say some things about weeds. I've got five statements about weeds in your handout. Number one, every garden gets them. I have never met a gardener who plants weeds. And I have never met a gardener who doesn't have them. You don't have to plant weeds to get weeds in your garden. They just are already there. The reason we get weeds in our garden is because of the wind. In Kansas City, in the fall, the weeds disseminate their seeds. Weeds are seed factories, and they just release their seeds, and then the winter winds pick up those seeds and blow them everywhere. grow a garden, suddenly you've got all these weeds coming up because every garden gets weeds. The point is, every person in this room has weeds. Number two, weeds dominate. They grow faster than the good stuff, thicker than the good stuff, taller than the good stuff, and they choke. They are bullies, and they choke the life out of the good stuff. Number three, they take a lot of hard work to suppress. Okay, I understand nobody is growing a garden right now, but let me just ask, is there anybody in the room that has ever had to weed anything, like a garden or a fit? Okay. Hashtag horrible. It's the most tedious, boring, horrible task you can imagine, weeding a garden. There's no inspiration when it comes to weeding a garden. But if you don't weed your garden, you will never have a 100-fold fruitful harvest. Number four, they always come back. This is the part about weeds that I hate. They always come back. You get rid of a weed, it's not gone. It's never gone. It's always going to come back, and it's going to bring seven weeds more wicked than itself with it. You thought you got rid of that weed? You did not. Okay, now we're getting serious. We happen to live in Kansas City. We live on, I don't know if I should say this to a group of people in Hong Kong. We live on 3 acres of wooded property. I know it's horrible. I shouldn't even, Marcus, why did I even say it? It's just beautiful. We have this beautiful acreage. It's beautiful except for the weeds. I thought I knew what weeds were. I've lived on the west coast of the U.S. I've lived on the east coast of the U.S. I did not know what weeds were until we moved to Kansas City. We have weeds in Kansas City with an attitude. These weeds are ADHD. They are crazy weeds. We have a thing in Kansas City called honeysuckle. Came straight out of the pit of hell. These things grow like crazy all over. I am on a constant war with my honeysuckle. I don't know if you can tell that I'm a man at war. I don't know if I look like it, but I am a man at war with the weeds around my yard. They are constantly trying to go after my garden and after my lawn and after my house. And I have an entire arsenal of artillery. I have a lawnmower. Wave at me if you know what a lawnmower is. Okay, thank you. When I get my lawnmower out, you should see me, Marcus. I'm like a crazy man. It's all coming down. I have a chainsaw. I love my chainsaw. My chainsaw is the most beautiful thing. I love my chainsaw so much, I have two chainsaws. I have a Husqvarna and I have a steel chainsaw. when I get my chainsaw out, every tree will bow and every limb confess that I am Lord of my property. The trees come down. It's cold in Kansas City right now. You should check out our temperature. It's well below freezing right now. I am so proud of myself for being in Hong Kong in February. It's brilliant. So I have a wood-burning stove in my house, and I take down trees, and I split them and cut them up, and I burn the wood in the winter. It saves on my heating bill. It gives me a cardiovascular workout, and like a pyromaniac, I just love the fire. I'm crazy. I'm just a wild man when I got my chainsaw in my hand. When I have my chainsaw in my hand, the honeysuckle comes down. And from April to October, I attack my weeds. Right around October, November, I get the victory. I have conquered my weeds until April. Next April, they're back. They are angrier than ever. They are stronger than ever. They attack me like never before. And I have to get my artillery out all over again and go after the weeds because they're back. And this is the part about weeds that I hate. You never fully conquer your weeds. You just keep on fighting with them and cutting them back over and over again. The point is this. There are some issues in the Christian life that you will never fully conquer. Until you're buried 6 feet underground. That's the difference between stones and weeds. When you dig up a stone from the garden of your heart and get rid of that stone, it's gone. When you cut back a weed, it's never gone. It just keeps on coming back over and over. And this was important for me to understand because there were certain issues that I would just keep on like, it's back again, it's back again. And the enemy would say to me like, okay, Bob, you're a hypocrite because if you had really repented and done business with God, you wouldn't have that thing happening all over again. And now I realize it's a weed. And if it's a weed, you're going to have to engage with it all over again. Statement number 5 about weeds. Weeds actually have a positive purpose when they're in the right place. An agriculturalist put me on to this. His name was Andy. Andy tells me, he goes, when weeds are in their rightful place, they can actually have a helpful purpose. Where they belong is in uncultivated territory. You don't want weeds in cultivated territory, but if the land is uncultivated, you actually want weeds there because they inhibit erosion. When he told me this, I was like, cha-ching, yeah. In the back of our house, if you were to come visit us at our house, Sam, you would see it. We have a creek that runs behind our house. It's a beautiful creek that runs right through the woods behind our house. And if on the embankment, I actually want weeds on that embankment, because if I didn't have weeds on that embankment, the Missouri rains would just wash it all into the creek and the foundation of our house would be compromised. I want weeds on that peripheral part of our property. The same thing is true on a golf course. Does anybody here golf? Any golfers in the room? Do we? Okay, I got a couple hands on that. If you've ever gone to a golf course, on the fairway, they do not allow weeds. On the greens, they do not allow weeds. If a weed should ever try to make an appearance on a green, you can feel sorry for that weed. The greenskeeper is going to be on that thing. That weed doesn't have a chance. But if there's a weed that comes up in the rough, the groundskeeper will leave that weed alone. Because in the rough, they actually want weeds in the rough. Just not on the fairway and not on the green. If you hit your ball into the rough, the greenskeeper is going to chuckle. Good luck with that one, buddy. Let's see if you can find that ball. And if you find it, let's see what you can do with it. Because they actually want weeds in the periphery. And so I'm going to circle back to that, because I'm going to make an application that weeds actually have a useful place in our lives in the periphery. We're going to come back to that. Jesus talked about three kinds of weeds in our parable. Let's look at them very quickly and we'll be done. Verse 19, the cares of this world. Jesus is talking about the hard side of life. There is a side of life that is exhausting. I don't think that I have to try to convince you of this. How many people in the room realize there is a hard side to life? I'm talking about going to work, paying the bills, keeping the kids in sneakers, putting food on the table, just utilities and rent and paying for education and trying to launch that business. And can we get something squirreled away for retirement? I mean, there is a part. Okay, let me ask it this way. Is there anybody in the room that is still in survival mode? I'm grateful that I've kind of gotten past that mode. I'm old. I'm 68. Okay, I've gotten past survival mode. But when I was young, man, just to try to survive, there is a hard side of life that we are working at to make life work. Jesus called it the cares of this world. And the cares of this world have the potential to choke the fruitfulness of our lives. We're just trying. Okay, I've got to get a I've got to work a third job now. I've got to try to make life work. And in the fight to survive, pay the bills, and make life work, it's possible for that to choke the fruitfulness of our lives so that everything becomes about the temporary rather than the eternal. Deceitfulness of riches. This is the second weed that Jesus mentions in verse 19. Jesus goes, money is deceitful. Money is a liar. It'll promise you stuff that it can never deliver. Money lies to you. Everything that money says to you is a lie. Money says, remember, I supply your needs. And the scripture goes, my God shall supply my needs. Money goes, you can't do the will of God without me. And I'm just going to say it. It's a lie. You do not have to have money to do the will of God. Peter goes, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he was able to do the will of God even though he had no money. Money will say to you, you don't have a problem with money. And it's a lie. I'm going to be honest, my friends. I do not trust my heart when it comes to money. I suggest that you have a similar perspective. The heart is deceitful. And when it comes to money, I do not trust the deceitfulness of my heart. Because the love of money wants my heart. It's a weed. Jesus goes, money is a weed. Now, if you don't like that answer, you can find another answer out there. Just check out YouTube. You'll find there's other answers out there. But I'm going to go with Jesus. He called it a weed, and I'm sticking with it. Money is a weed, and it wants to choke the fruitfulness of our hearts. Now, let me just clarify. We're not trying to remove money from our lives. We're just trying to get it in the periphery so that it's not in the center of our heart. I don't want money in the garden of my heart. I do not serve money. I serve God. Money shall not master me. In Jesus' name, I shall master it. And I'm going to get money in the periphery of my heart. And I've got to cut back the tendrils of money that want to overgrow my heart and get it back in the periphery where it belongs. But here's the problem. It doesn't want to stay there. It just keeps on coming back over and over. And here's how it works for me. I'm just going to tell you my own journey with this thing. I will get out my machete and I will go after the weed of money and I'll get that thing back in the periphery of my heart. And I'm like, I got victory again. Praise God. A year later, it's back and it wants wants my heart all over again. And I've got to get my machete out all over again. And I'm going to be honest with you, my friends. I am prepared to use my machete on the weed of money for the rest of my life. I hope that I don't discourage you with what I'm about to say. I am 68 years old and I still have to do warfare with money. The love of money is a weed and it wants to come back over and over and over again. And I just keep on getting my machete out. How do we use our machete? One word. Generosity. We swing the machete through generosity. When you get generous, you are cutting back the weed of money and getting it where it belongs. We're not trying to remove money from our lives. I'm over here going, keep your job. Earn a paycheck. Bring the money home and put food on the table for your kids. And then get your machete out. You will not have my heart. In Jesus' name, I'm going to... There's times... I'll be honest with you. There's times that I realize it's time for crazy generosity. I just have seasons where I'm like, you know what? It's time. It's time for me to write a couple big checks. And when I do, my spirit gets clean. That's what Jesus said. Let me find the verse here. It's Luke 11, verse 41. He goes, when you are generous, it cleans you out. Cleans you up. It's a cleanser. Generosity is a cleanser. And you're cutting back the weeds of the love of money and getting it back where it belongs. The third way Jesus mentioned desires for other things, verse 19. This one is the opposite of the cares of life. This is talking about what Luke calls the pleasures of life. This is the sweet side of life. There is a sweet side of life. Does anybody know in Hong Kong there is a sweet side of life? Now this one, you all know here in Hong Kong. Okay. Shopping. New clothes. All expenses paid, vacations to Disney World. Does anybody here like vacations? Beijing. There is a sweet side to life. Does anybody here like Korean food? I like Italian food. There's a sweet side of life. And Jesus goes, it's a weed. The desires for the pleasures of life, the enjoyable side of life. We're not talking about sinful activities. We're talking about delightful activities that actually God wants us to enjoy life when those things are in the periphery of our lives. But they don't want to stay in the periphery. They want to kind of creep over our hearts, and we become just a little bit too much involved in the delightful pleasures of life. And sometimes we've got to get our sickle out and go, I am not going to live my life for all the pleasures of this world. I am not going to become my life. The focus of my life is not going to be on all the sweet things that my budget will allow me to enjoy. I'm going to cut those things back because I want to be fruitful. Fruitful in the kingdom of God. This is what my heart has a value on. Video games are a weed. Your bucket list is a weed, my friend. The sweet side of life. It wants to choke the fruitfulness of our hearts. Stand with me. So tonight we've talked about stones, pockets of sin and compromise that hinder our root development. And we've talked about weeds that want to choke the fruitfulness of our heart. And by the grace of God, we're going to keep on digging up every stone that we see. And we are going to keep on cutting back every weed. There might be somebody in the room tonight that has no stones. But I'm telling you, every one of us has weeds. Every one of us needs to keep on cutting back the cares of life, the pleasures of life, money. In Jesus' name, the weeds must stay in the periphery of my heart so that my heart is fully fruitful in the kingdom of God. We want to be available to pray with you. In just a moment, they're going to start some music. They're waiting for me. Just, it helps my voice. But in a moment, we're going to worship the Lord, give him our hearts in response. And Pastor Sam's going to help me. We're going to have a few leaders here available to pray. And you are welcome in this moment to just have someone agree with you in prayer. If there is a stone in your garden that, as the word has come forward tonight, you're like, I need to go after this stone. We are here to pray with you. You may not know how to go after that stone. You may not know how long it will take you to get rid of that stone. But tonight, you are saying to Jesus, this stone is going to go in Jesus' name. I'm coming after it in the name of Jesus. We want to agree with you in prayer. It just seemed to me tonight that the Holy Spirit was on the whole thing of anxiety and fear. If there's anything related to anxiety or fear in your heart, and you're like, I'm going after that stone, we want to pray with you. You're welcome to receive prayer tonight. It could be that there was something connected to that, the whole thing I did about family medical history. If there's an apprehension in your heart related to your family medical history, we are glad to pray with you tonight. Anything related to weeds, the cares of life, the tough, the exhausting side of life that gets so, it just wants to choke out all of our energy and all of our attention. And tonight, you're like, Jesus, I refuse to let the fight of life choke out my fruitfulness, and I'm coming after that weed. Money, the love of money. Somebody in the room tonight needs to pick up your machete tonight and go, in the name of Jesus, it's time to come after that weed. It wants my heart over and over, and we want to pray with you. The pleasures of life, the sweet side of life. Pastor Sam, would you help me? We'll have some folks available here to pray. If there's some way that you want to engage with the Lord, you want someone to pray with you, we are here for that. Give your heart to Jesus. And we're just going to say it together. Lord, my heart is yours. My garden is yours. And I am seeking 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold fruitfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy anniversary. May you be fully fruitful in the grace of God.
Amen. The worship team is going to lead us, invite the pastors to come again like yesterday. And we're going to pray for you. And, you know, what Bob was saying in the application is exactly taking the sickle, taking the shovel. This is how we clean these fields before the Lord and make our heart fruitful. And so we just want to invite you. So Matt, you can just lead us right now. And just come and just stand in front of one of us. And we're just going to agree with you about whatever situation that you're responding to. Okay? And so as the Lord leads, why don't you come and we'll pray with you.
Right now, Lord God, you're so good. Jesus' name, highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. Oh, I am blessed, I am whole, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. I'm blessed, I am called, and I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the Lord, Jesus' name.
So good, you're so good.
love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call. Deeper still as you call. Deeper still as you call. Deeper still into love. Still as you call, deeper still into love, 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 you're a good, good father. And I'm loved by you.
Some and but we want to dismiss the service. We're mindful it's church tomorrow, so we need to go home and sleep and get ready. And so let me just cover us. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for just that rich word, Lord God. Thank you for speaking to us through Bob, Lord. We receive, Father God. We pray that you just seal that word in our hearts, God, and help us to meditate on it, Lord. There's so many stones, God. There's so many weeds and. That we need to take care of, Lord. And so would you help us, God? Just give us the grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Just continue to watch over us, Lord. We love you. Help us to be refreshed, God, tonight as we sleep and to come into your Sabbath, God, with joy, God, and thanksgiving. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You guys keep praying and let's pray. If you please buy some books in the back, there's a lot of wisdom and riches there. And I think Bob will be back there and he'll sign a copy for you if you ask him. Right? God bless you guys.